Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Too Hot to Handle Wrap Up. I am your host, Hurston McInnes, and I have some very special guests today. So first, a woman that I am truly obsessed with that I've somehow never podcasted with. I managed to get Allie Lasher. So Allie, how are you doing?
I thought that was too nice of an intro and it had to be about Puya, so I was unprepared. No, I'm thrilled. This is like an absolute dream. You sent me a text. I normally hem and haw over every opportunity in my life. This, I was like, you daytime, place, I'll clear everything. Let's do this. I don't think there's a better show for us to be making our debut together. I'm jazzed, fully jazzed.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's just the right amount of messy that it brings in, like, your challenge roots, my Love Island roots, and it puts it together in a beautiful way. But we are not alone. We are joined by Puya Zanvakili, who I wanted to introduce as Liana because he's on her Skype account.
It's like a vision board. If you could dream it, right? It might come true.
Exactly. Puya, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I am more than just Liana's partner in crime, okay? I would like my own intro, you know, the winner of all winners, or, you know, some people's brand. I don't know. Something. Give me something. The bearded one.
I feel like at one point you tried to get some sort of thunder nickname, but I feel like that's not appropriate.
I mean, not only did I not do that and that was thrust upon me, but also I don't recall. So we can move on.
Anyways, it's fine. We can talk about that later because right now we are going to talk about episodes 2 and 3 of Too Hot to Handle on Netflix. And I know I have not watched anything past episode Not 2 and 3.
I got scared. I was like, I don't have any notes on 2. I watch it.
I'm stupid. Ooh. No, I'm just stupid. I already talked about episode 2 with Rob and Nora from Survivor 39 popped in. And then I just like wrote podcast 2 and then wrote 2 and 3 because, you know what? Numbers aren't my thing. And I think if anybody has a problem with that, then they need to find a different podcast to listen to. But yeah, so 3 and 4. Have either of you seen past 4 yet or are we unspoiled?
Unspoiled.
I'm salivating to watch episode 5. So no, yeah. I had to reluctantly stop at 4.
Okay, perfect. So we're all on the same page. So if anybody is in the comments of this podcast spoiling the rest, I'm going to lose my mind. So please don't do that. Okay. So episode 3 picks up and it's right after Francesca and Haley kissed just to lose everybody money. So what were you guys' thoughts on that? And also like your thoughts just on the people so far since we haven't heard from you yet.
Puya, please.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Allie. That's me. Okay. So yeah, so they decide to go on this revenge tour of, hey, we're going to make out to lose people money. I think Haley was more into this than she's letting on. I think Haley low-key has a little bit of a crush on Francesca. I know you like Haley and I know a lot of people like Haley. Haley's not my cup of tea. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't really enjoy the Haley. She's chaotic and that's always fun, but also, not my cup of tea. And yeah, Francesca is Francesca. I definitely have some opinions on her, especially later on into this podcast. I will dive on to those. But as for the rest of the cast, I love that it's diverse. I love that we have different accents out and about and everyone's all together. Now there's 10 of them, currently 11, obviously, if you're being technical. But I'm enjoying it for all the chaos that it is, for all the hot mess that it is. But I don't like Haley, and I know I'm gonna say that one more time to make sure that we know that I don't like Haley.
She's not your cup of hot chocolate.
It just hurts.
That's right. Love Haley strong, not this Haley from Too Hot to Handle.
Well, we already have we have a question addressing that later. How dare you, Puya? Allie, what about you? What are your thoughts like on the people? What do you think of the scheme?
I think episodes 3 to 4 represents like a clear transition and like how I feel about most of these people. So like in the, you know, when curtains open on episode 3 and I stand a petty queen. And there's nothing I stand harder than 2 petty queens in cahoots. I like thought this plan was brilliant. I was very annoyed at the house for turning, like backing Harry when he was clearly lying. And like, it made no sense for Harry to be lying. My friend brought it to me once and was like, why is Harry just lying though? I'm trying to decide if this is a conversation with either of you two, because I don't remember who I talked to anymore. But like, why is Harry lying? And I was like, he knows he's going to get caught. It's a TV show. And I was like, Because guys, like, you could have a receipt and be like, here's a text you sent. And they'll be like, I never said that. So I can't stand Harry. Like, he is worse than a trash bag. He's like an unlined garbage can that's like full. Like, he is the absolute worst. But
love he's that. Not even a dumpster fire. He's a unlined garbage
like
can.
He in quarantine. Like, I can't say. So I was like, yes, Francesca and Haley, like, burn their money down. And then as we like talk more into the episodes, I can see what Puya's saying. First of all, 100%, I don't even think it's low key Haley's in love with Francesca. I don't love that she's like trying to use like, oh, let's like say we lied because we were like ashamed of our sexuality. So I was like, I feel like that's like a dark excuse to claim. But So at this moment in the beginning of episode 3, I'm on team Francesca and Haley. As we get to the end of the story that we're going to discuss today, they lose me completely.
Okay, I think that's fair. But yeah, so we see that they're excited to see what everyone says when they find out. But then it immediately goes to, you know, the people that Francesca and Haley are going to try to frame, which is Sharon and Rhonda. They're all making out. They're talking about how it's so hard not to have sex. And Sharon is like, you know, I'm just a guy. And sex is like brushing your teeth. And Rhonda's just like, yeah, it is. And do either of you know what that means? Puya, do you know what that means? Sex is like brushing your teeth?
No.
Do you do it twice a day? Is it part of your routine? Like, I'm confused.
Like, first of all, Sharon is like the thirstiest person they could have found. This guy is literally dying. He cannot handle not getting it in or not getting it wet or whatever kind of thing you want to say. I'm assuming like brushing your teeth. I mean, I would hope he's brushing his teeth twice a day, but also do I hope that, because if he's equating it to having sex, then I hope he's not. But also, he's very thirsty. And can we just, okay, so actually I'm going to say it. Everyone likes sex. Why is it such a, like, I'm a guy, that means that I really need to get it in like every day. Like, calm down, my guy. Jesus.
Well, and he's acting like it has been months and months and months.
2 weeks. Probably like what, 10 days in episode 3, let's say 10 days of a month. Like, that's not that long. Literally, this entire show is based on a Reddit meme known as No Nut November. So there are people that do this as a hobby. So I don't understand why my man Sharon over here is acting like he's had to give up everything and be on a like nice resort with, you know, lovely looking people who have some banter and drinks. Like, I feel like you are not being punished. You're being rewarded. I don't get it.
I don't think any of these people are participating in No Nut November.
No. Outside the show, no. Chance. Yeah.
Allie, do you know what this means? Sex is like brushing your teeth? I'm very caught up on this. I don't understand.
Sharon, how do I say his name again? Sharon? It's like weird to look at my notes where I've misspelled everyone's name and like my like the heat of panic all furiously typing, and now I like can't remember anything. But he calls himself a sex icon, which I'm sort of like, let's start there. Like, I don't know what any of these people are saying at any time. But what's interesting is, like, again, episodes 3 and 4, I feel like were a critical transition for me of like resisting the show to getting immediately on board. Like, okay, I saw the preview and I'm like, I'm in, I'm on board. Like, duh. This is our market. Then I watched the first episode and I'm like, get the hell out of here. Where did you find these people? Like, this is ridiculous. And then this is sort of like the sex is like 2 times a day, like brushing your teeth thing is to me like the final foundation of like, we get it. All of these people are like obsessed with sex. We got that. It's important to them. And then we're going to see this beautiful arc and I'm here for it. Like, suspend your disbelief that like Sharon is having this like moment where finally he's like going to stop hiding behind his sex obsessed like nature and really make a connection. And so I feel like all of this was just like groundwork to like shove it down our throats so we can really appreciate those watches turning green. Jumping ahead, which I did appreciate. Spoiler alert.
That's honestly kind of beautiful. Yeah, I feel like this 2-episode arc is very much about like the like wholesome part of the story is about like David and Sharon and Rhonda. And then there's like a not so wholesome side to the story kind of playing out at the same time. So that's
yeah,
that's
with the
a,
petty
an interesting
queens.
Way to look at it. Yeah, where we have two petty queens, absolutely. Well, and it's, I mean, it starts out two petty queens, and then by the end it's like, do they even talk anymore? I don't even know.
Heartbreak. The queens of heartbreak. That's a bad
honestly
reference.
My heart is broken. So yeah, then there's like a brief conversation from, you know, David and Chloe, where David is like, maybe we could like balance the self-development with the sex, because it's just setting up like they want sex so bad.
I buy it.
And
I buy it.
I mean, yeah, who doesn't, right?
I mean, they've sold me on their antics. Like, it's like you can only get hit over the head by these people. Like, it's all they talk about so much, which is, I'm sure, you know, fluffed up by producers and editing. But I'm just like, I have sunk my teeth into this series. I'm so here for all of the garbage.
Well, yeah. And that's one thing, too. Like, at the end of episode 4, it's like we're halfway through the month. So it's like apparently we've gotten 2 weeks worth of footage. But I certainly don't feel like we've seen 2 weeks of activity happen by the end of this. So, like, does the pacing feel off to either of you?
It's weird because I knew. So I was just watching the show freely over the weekend. And then when we got in contact and I said, like, okay, 3 and 4, I was like, oh my God, I think I've already watched 6. And then I checked and I'd only watched 4. I'd stopped at 5. So it feels like, it's strange to me. Like, it doesn't make sense that we're at the halfway point because it feels like we haven't learned anything, but also it feels like a lot has also happened simultaneously. So I'm really just lost in how I feel both things at the same time. I don't get it.
It's a confusing time for all of us.
Yeah. I agree that the pacing feels off. I think that was like my takeaway episode 3, where I was like, something feels off. It feels like they've been there, like, we've only seen them be there for 2 days, but then they're telling us it's been 10. And like, I don't really understand, like, the some relationships, like, people have never talked to each other before. And then some are like crying in each other's arms, whatever. So, and like, there's only been like 2 dates and like 2 challenges or whatever. So that has felt off. But after the end of 4, I was like, okay, this pacing actually does make sense. I really like the rollout of, okay, first, like you said on the podcast with Rob and Nora, like, first it's like the 12 hours of the show they thought they were going to be on. And then it's like, it's going to be a desert, a sexual desert for the whole month. And then it's like, actually, if you have these real relationships, you're going to be able to do some stuff. So like, I've enjoyed that evolution in the rules, that we've kind of gone along with them without like knowing that upfront. Like, I think that has made like the story arc make much more sense, or like the progression. Cause I don't think this show would work without those like green bracelets rule change. I know I keep jumping to talk about that, but like, I think in that sense, the pacing has smoothed out, but maybe it feels so like such, so little has happened. Cause we keep getting rule revelations and you don't usually get that beyond like the first episode of a show.
Yeah. No, it feels like a lot, like from the start of episode 4 to the end of episode 4, I feel like a lot has like been fixed and leveled out for the remainder of the season, is what I'm feeling as well. Like, 4 was big for all of that.
Yeah, that is very true. And we will get to the like Fitbit watch things very soon, Allie. But first we need to talk about how Lana is going to do workshops for the people in the resort over the course of the show. And we get 2 of them in these 2 episodes. And the first one is the Shibari workshop, which is an exercise in which couples use bondage to learn trust and intimacy, essentially, is the vibe that I got from that. We got a really great montage of Haley not being able to say Shibari, which I found great joy in. And all of these people, it looks like, probably have some experience with restraints. And the couples that they gave us were David and Chloe, Kels and Haley, Sharon and Rhonda, Matthew and Nicole, and then Harry and Francesca. Puya, did you have any thoughts on those couples that production made?
I like the pairings. It's very clear they're, you know, these are story driving couplings that they're doing to make sure that the Shibari, you know, bondage trust fall exercise works out well and to our entertainment. This is, not to jump ahead, but this is the second time where I feel like they've paired Nicole and Matthew, and I still don't know who Nicole really is. So I know I can tell they keep trying to make this a thing, I haven't seen it be a thing. I'm intrigued to see if it ends up being a thing. But obviously the matchup of the hour is Harry and Francesca by far, given how they've their relationship has hit a complete halt by this point in the show.
Yes, and it's a halt in the Shibari workshop as well, because Francesca is refusing to even try it because she is so mad at him. Now, I'm going to ask you, Allie, did you also forget that Nicole was there?
I thought I was just getting prepared to like lash out about Harry in this situation, but I'll move back to Nicole. Yeah, 100%. Like I she's completely discarded. And I think that really kind of goes through the whole episode four. And I kind of like that the show is not like forcing it. If she doesn't have a connection, like that's fine. I'm like, I'm okay with the drama that's been going on with everybody else. Mm. So, you know, maybe she'll make an appearance in the back half of the show.
Yeah.
And hey, if you want to lash out at Harry, please feel free. Take this opportunity.
Okay, let's do this. No, I mean, first of all, I love that the producers, you guys are talking about this, but I love that the producers make the matches. I think more shows should do this. Like, I'm going back to like, Are You the One or The Bachelor, like picking dates, or Are You the One for challenges? You match yourselves up. Like, I love that the producers are just openly like, we arranged this for drama. Like this whole show is such a troll. And I feel like they have a lot of unlikable people, like more so than a normal reality show. Like they're most of these people I find unlikable, but the show's just trolling them the whole time. So like maybe that's the point and I'm here for it. But speaking of unlikable, I don't understand. And maybe you guys can figure this out for me. Like, okay, they put her with Harry. They put Francesca with Harry after Harry has just dogged her out in front of the entire house for no reason, completely lied on her. And that's an expression I only hear on reality shows, lied on her. But that's what happened. He lied on her. And now they have to do this like trust exercise where presumably he's going to be able to tie her up. Forget that. I'm glad that didn't happen. Why is Harry not even like owning it in the slightest? Like it's like Francesca is there waiting for him to just be like, could you just like say you lied? Like they're not addressing it. He's just like, I can't believe she's mad at me. I don't understand. Then the Kama Sutra woman comes over. What's it called? The bondage woman?
Shibari woman
comes over and says, like, why are you not participating, Francesca? It's like, oh, yeah. Maybe because he's a liar that you paired him with.
He is a complete falafel boy. Obviously, that's not the word with the letter F that I'm referring to.
Oh, but I was like, what is that? Falafel boy.
Yeah, I was like, I've never heard of a falafel boy. Please tell me more.
He's basically a falafel boy. This guy is trifling. He's a what the Brits like to call a dickhead. And it's,
I mean, I said fuckboy on the Love Island coverage. I think we can say.
Oh, can we? Okay, that makes it a lot easier. He's a fuckboy. Like, I mean, and like, not like. And look, the worst kind, they're all bad, but like the worst, like the toxic waste of the garbage, you know, just like he's done this. He knows he's done this. He knows he's kind of gotten away with murder because he's gotten most of the sympathy in the house. And he's just not even trying to acknowledge that he's done. He's like, you know, I think we should just be adults and move on. I'm sorry, 6'5", 23-year-old. You said what? Okay.
Well, and it, like the thing is if they were going to be adults and move on, they would talk it out, right?
Yeah.
They would have a conversation of, you know what, I did lie and this is why I lied and I'm sorry that I lied. And Francesca would be like, you know what, I get it, but I'm still mad at you, but let's like move forward. But the fact that he's not owning it at all, even though everybody knows, is just infuriating. Like I really see, this is the thing. Anytime I think someone is cute, made of red flags. It's just proof.
Can I ask how soon we're going to see Shibari on other reality shows? I feel like this was like the quintessential forced connection. It reminded me of the dates on Dating Naked when they had like, either of you guys, were you low enough to watch that?
Apparently
I've like
not.
I've heard about it. And I want to watch it, but there's just something that is holding me
okay,
back.
Okay, Dating Naked was like a staple. I like thought you guys were going to be like, yes, of course. But it was like they were naked and they went on dates. And it was like a guy single and a girl single. And they would go on three different completely naked dates. And it would always be something like this. Like it would be like looking into each other's eyes and doing like deep breathing. Or it would be like naked finger body painting or like I'm shocked they didn't do bondage. Maybe they did, but like this would be the quintessential thing where it's like a practice that gets you like to do it with a stranger, but it's actually like tying someone up pretty aggressively if you do it wrong, I guess, like Harry and Francesca.
Yeah, Francesca was like, I don't know what she was doing, but it was like very angry. And Harry's clearly like, guys, is this what's supposed to happen?
He got off easy.
You're right.
Yeah. Should have been worse.
You're right. He should have gotten more. So the only notable thing I really have other than that is when Kells literally just like picks up a hogtied Haley and it's like, look, it's like a gym bag.
I love that, Kells.
Yeah, Kells is my favorite by far. By far. The accountant's my man. And also I have in my notes Matt Jesus when he was trying really hard to pretend that he doesn't know how what this is and that he's never done it before. Like, okay, calm down, Matt Jesus.
See, the thing is I like to think of him as Matt Antichrist and I hate him. So I just anytime he says anything that alludes to his like previous sexual prowess, it makes me very uncomfortable, especially because they're leaning into the Jesus thing.
He is. He's calling himself the rock and roll Jesus now. So,
yeah, he called himself rock and roll Jesus. Everyone else was calling him Matt Jesus in the last two episodes.
Can I ask you guys, which Jesus would you be? Like, do you have an adjective for the type of Jesus you would be? Is this an offensive question? I don't know.
He's rock and roll Jesus. I would be like laying on the couch for so long your body gets sore, Jesus.
I was going to say wine. I'm wine Jesus.
Okay.
I think that's already a thing.
Listen.
Can I pick the Jesus from the Big Lebowski?
There are no rules.
No, you can't pick an existing Jesus. Like, yeah, you have to be your own Jesus.
Don't fuck with the Jesus.
Don't at me, by the way, over this. I feel like this might be offensive, but it's all in good fun.
Yes.
I mean, if anybody is adding us over anything, it should be that we're talking about Too Hot to Handle in the first place.
Yeah, fair.
If there's problems that arise from that, the root cause is that we watch Too Hot to Handle. And guess what? They probably watched it too. So they're not so pure. So then we get the start of the Sharon and Rhonda love story that kind of carries us out.
Are they? So should their couple name be Ron or Sharonda?
I think it's Sharonda.
Okay. I like Ron.
Well, Ron is just, I get it that it's Ron, but Ron could just be a nickname for Rhonda. Or it's already been taken,
okay,
actually, by the original Ron from the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, that's where it came from. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I think Sharonda is pretty great. I think that's why they had to be together.
Sharonda is canon.
And so, yeah, Sharonda is canon. So they're talking about like the lesson of, you know, not getting physical in order to have a real connection. And Sharon is like, you know what? I think I've learned the lesson. Like, I've never waited this long before. I've never had to wait before. Like, I've learned the lesson. And I can't. Puya, what's your thought on this whole conversation that they have the first time they try to like define their relationship?
I mean, I feel like I blew my Sharon rage load earlier, but he's just enough. Like, he's so thirsty. And like, I know people be thirsty, but like, this is like, I walked through the desert 40 days and didn't find a cactus thirsty. Like, this is brutal. It's like, my man, it's been 8 days. Like, there have been people that I've dealt with a lot more in 8 days. Like, oh man. And I love that this is his way. Cause like, you know, I feel like you can see a guy's mind working. And as one myself, it's like, I can tell that this is him using this angle of like, I learned a lesson to try and bring her into the idea of like, you know, I think we've all learned a lesson today. And my lesson was that I'm really a lot better at this now. I have a handle on it. I learned. And she's like, you learned? This is it? He's like, yeah, this is it. Like, I think I figured it out. It's like, okay, man, this is the secret of the universe is wait 8 days is Sharon's lesson.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what work the no masturbation policy is doing on the show. Like, I almost find them too obsessed with talking about how long they've gone to the point where, like, I don't know that it's, like, I don't think it's necessary for that line to have been drawn, because I still think you'd have, like, the right amount of tension with not being able to, like, sexually interact with each other. Mm. And I don't know that I need to hear about, like, how long, like, Sharon has gone, like, on an individual basis.
So the thing is that I think would be worse if they were allowed to masturbate is that they would just do, like, where they would masturbate, like, in front of each other as, like, a sexual act together. And that's, like, all they would do. And it would be really horrifying.
Okay, so maybe you can't do that. Like, maybe it's, like, regular reality shows, like, bathroom only or whatever. I don't know what people do on reality shows.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, you know, that is making it probably, because, you know, it's like, it's all about the forbidden fruit. You can't kiss. You can't, like, you know, they said heavy petting. You can't, no heavy petting, no sex. It's like, okay. But then the no masturbation, it's like, okay, that's not it there. But I feel like if they have it, that's not going to make them want the other thing so much more less, right? Because that's with other people. They're there with other people. They do this thing on their own probably forever. But then I guess then we won't get Sharon being like, he learned a lesson. Maybe now he doesn't learn his lesson.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That's my official stance. I've learned my lesson and I'm fine without Sharon learning it.
At least four episodes in and has learned the lesson. So then this is where we get where Sharon is like, you know, my heart has been broken before. Someone cheated on me with my best friend. I don't want to be hurt again. Like, I like you, but it's too soon to tell. It could be something real. And it just kind of leaves off very awkward because Rhonda, like, really wants to get to know him and he doesn't really say. Which is then kind of mirrored by Chloe and David being like, no, we don't have a spark. Goodbye.
Can I ask you about Sharonda for a second? Like,
of course.
Okay, this ex story comes up later and then it really comes to a head with David as standing in for the best friend. Like, I want more information because, okay, Sharon is 25, which is definitely old enough to have had a significant relationship where somebody cheated on you and that's, like, really scarring. And I liked this part of it that he's opening up to Rhonda in this way and explaining why he has trouble letting people in. But, like, I feel like there's going to be some not reveal, but online, it's going to be revealed that, like, he was, like, 16 and in high school and this happened. You know what I mean? Like, I was missing a critical part of, like, this story. And I want so badly for, like, the best friend or the ex to, like, show up on the island for a session, like, tie each other up and really move on. But I don't know. I just felt like I smell something in the air. Maybe I'm totally wrong and this was like a 3-year adult relationship, but for some reason I felt like this was like a guy being like, yeah, I was really hurt in the past by an ex. Not that it wouldn't hurt if you were like 15, but anyone smelling what I'm stepping in, or do I sound crazy?
I mean, I don't think you sound crazy. I just think it seems like it might have been something more significant just with how much it comes up. Like, it's like all Sharon can talk about is how badly he wants to have sex and how badly he's been hurt in the past. And what I liked the most about this, though, is that later on when they talk again, Rhonda's like, I've been hurt 3 times and you've been hurt once. And I was like, whoa. Oh my God. Like, that's just so rude to say to someone, like, I've been hurt 3 times as much as you have. Let's compare.
Well, I think it's rate. Without trying to sound like harsh, right? Like, and that's maybe what I'm getting at with the, like, how real was this relationship? And every relationship is significant. So I don't want to, like, invalidate his very real experience. But it's like, I feel like that happens a lot. Like, that's a Hollywood trope or like a reality TV trope where it's like a guy's been hurt once in the past and then becomes like a falafel boy and like cites that one heartbreak experience at like 15, and it's like we're on the front lines, we're putting ourselves out there every day. Like, I could sit with that. Rhonda's like, I've been hurt 3 times because of falafel boys like you. Let's pick it up. Like, that 2 wrongs don't make a right, Sharon.
Yeah,
Rhonda's like, I keep getting hurt because of people like you, but here I am putting my heart on the line again.
Yeah, I mean, to quote a falafel boy I met in my freshman year of university, take a chance, gamble on romance, Sharon. That's what you got to do. You got to put your defenses down and you got to be vulnerable and you got to let people in. Otherwise, ain't nobody going to figure you out. You're not going to figure anybody out. And the only history you are going to have is holding on to this one time where your heart was broken by your ex going with your best friend, which granted is a very hard and complicated triangle to, you know, come to terms with, I'm sure. But come on, Sharon.
That was a very specific quote.
Yeah, take a chance, gamble on romance.
Yeah, so we were at this house party and I overheard this guy say this to a girl.
Oh, God.
And I was like, you know, in a different circle, if you're sitting there with friends and he's giving this advice to one of his friends, that's like a deep, very emotional, like sweet thing to say. But in the context I saw it with, I'm like, oh, you're a falafel boy. You're straight up just trying to, like, you know, get this girl to, like, hang out with you. So, but I felt in this instance, it was a very heartfelt, deep thing to say. So I said it.
I like that. Reclaim
that.
Well,
I mean, that's great because he's literally telling her, yeah, it's a chance. It is a gamble. It's not safe.
Oh, my God. Falafel boy.
But yeah, so Chloe and David, it seemed like they were super close until during the Shibari, David's like, yeah, I'm not turned on. And then Chloe's like, yeah, there's no spark. We're done here. And David is like, he doesn't even know when he was rejected. So that kind of sets him up to be, you know, open for Rhonda, which is what's coming
up. Kirsten, is there a more awkward place to be dumped or to dump a guy than while intertwined in a hammock?
Yeah, they're in their bathing suits. They're in like a macrame hammock,
which Chloe is wearing like a space suit. Her bathing suit is like metallic pink, like rubber. Like, I was like, how did she get into that?
Okay, but also I just thought it was cute. I didn't think about the logistics behind
fair
it.
Fair enough. You don't have to. We're watching the show. We're here to enjoy it, not to be stressed by it. I apologize.
I can't think what would be worse than that.
It could have happened while they were both intertwined because the Shibari expert tied them up together.
Fair enough.
That is true. I mean, I guess it would be worse if it happened in the exact same hammock and clothes, but they were in like a long-term relationship.
Mm.
And Chloe looks up and goes, there's no spark here. I'm done.
It's also the same thing. Like I was like, oh my God, like Chloe doesn't see a future. It's been like 2 days. But I think this is also where I'm like now reminding myself while thinking about it that my read on the pacing was like totally off, that this was like 10 days. We only saw one date. But it's hard to imagine looking at David and saying there's no spark. But I guess if you're Chloe and you have your pick of Adonises, it's just like, what's another British beefcake?
Yeah, it's almost like looks don't factor into the equation as much here because they're all so attractive.
Right. And I mean, I think ultimately they're all, you know, it's like everyone's trying to find somebody that is too hot for them to handle. And it seems like Chloe was like, there you go. Look at that wordplay. Ooh. Nailed it. And then Chloe's trying to find that. But I guess it's like I've spent too much time on David. The time is limited. Must find my hot to not handle. So then she moved on.
I mean, I think that's the right move. So then we have the setup where everyone finally finds out about the $3,000 kiss from Francesca and Haley. And basically, the rest of the episode is pretty much people running around trying to figure out what happened. Matthew is like, I'm the sex police.
Detective Jesus on the case.
Yeah, Detective Jesus of the sex PD. tries to figure it out. And he actually does determine that it's Francesca and Haley like pretty quickly. He's like, I could see them doing this.
Yeah.
Were you guys surprised that it would be that easily exposed?
The two weren't great on acting about it, I think. So that was not good. Obviously, this is before they even had to act. So I think he's had it out for Francesca from pretty much the initial Harry and Francesca discovery they had with all the, with the kissing and the $3,000. And he keeps calling her, what does he call her? The manipulator. And then Haley is the mindless one. And he's brought that up like four times. So I think his vendetta has been against these two and he doesn't care how he can do it. If he can just convince people that this happens, obviously I think he got lucky that it seems like it was just a hunch that ended up working out for him. I don't know if there was any like evidence for him.
How mad do you think Matthew is that two women are kissing and no women seem interested
in him? Well, that's what that is to me. Like, I think he's clearly jealous of Harry and was into Francesca and is like now jealous as hell. That's what I think that is. Like, I think, like, we saw Kells get tested and he, like, passed the test for the house. But I think the second, if ever, a super attractive woman tries to get with Matthew, he's breaking. I don't buy it.
I think he's like, he's like the R nice guy, the Reddit nice guy. Like, you know, right when he gets rejected, he's like, I didn't even like you like that, bro. You're not even my cup of tea. Like, forget you. I don't even want to do this. I'm going to be celibate because I care about everyone and their money. Let's get this bread.
Yeah, he's 100% that guy who's like, oh my God, I would treat you so well. I want to be with you, blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, oh, you know what? Actually, I'm not interested, but I really want to be friends. He'd be like, F you, bitch. I didn't even like you anyways. You're ugly. Which is 100% who he is. That's a really good call. So this culminates in something that I think is very controversial, where they actually ask Lana who did the kissing. And Lana gives them the information, which I feel like should not be allowed. Allie, what are your thoughts on
that? I totally agree. I think two things are weird about this. The first is like the unclear timeline of when people find out that there's been a breach. Like, I almost think, like, I feel like I have no sense of like the time of day or how long it's been or like how long after the incident does Lana report that there's been a breach. I want more clarity on that. I want like a Lana ceremony, like where she either reports every 3 days there's been a breach or there's been no breach and everyone celebrates. Like, I want like consistency in my garbage. So that I thought was weird. Like, at first I was like, should an alarm go off in the house and everybody like has to run like when the breach happens? But I've come down on that because I think it's bullshit that they can ask Lana. Like, I think that really ruins the fun. I think part of why this happened, which was exciting that this happened, that like people are like spite kissing, is because they did not think they'd be able to be found out. Like, when Francesca says, oh, they didn't tell when it was me and Harry, we told. So like, that means they won't tell. And I think it like ruins now moving forward. Like, if there is a breach, people are just going to like own it and be like, we succumb to temptation and everyone will be sad about it. Like, I want more secret rule violations.
Yeah. And I think, okay. So for me, I feel the same way, that it's nonsense that they can get this information, but also, why did he get to trial and error it? Why did he get to like do three of them and until he got this is the right one? Because then what's the point? Like, once it gets deducted, all you have to do is sit next to Lana for like 45 minutes and list all the combinations till you get it. Like, then, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me. I think it would have been great TV on its own because Haley was very bad in acting. Before Haley even got accused, she was getting defensive, so that wasn't good. Obviously, when this had come up at another point, Haley and Francesca got up and left mid-conversation, so that wasn't a good look either. So I think they would have been caught pretty much without this. This wasn't necessary. And to do this, like, what does this do? Make people's guards go up? I don't know if that's the case. Maybe. But then, like, then where's the scandal of the show? You know, so I'm not about that. I didn't like that. If they were going to do it, there should be some kind of like rule of like, you get one combination ask total. So now everyone has to come to a consensus and decide if they want to do it. Majority rules or whatever. If you really want to do it, I think they should just not do it.
Or what if it costs you $1,000 to ask Lana?
Ooh. Per. Yes, I like that. So they would have lost 3K to find that out.
And then they don't have a leg to stand on because they lost just as much as the kiss. I like that a lot. Great. That's a great
Do you know
idea.
What else I really want to happen? And I'm not, who's to say it won't happen, but I would love this. If like Lana, okay, so let's say in this moment, I was kind of hoping this would happen this episode. Like, let's say Lana brings them all with their empty Moscow Mule mugs together to like talk about a rule breach. And we've seen Francesca and Haley, and that's what we're expecting. And then she says, there have been two rule breaches, or she interrupts and we don't even know and says there's been a rule breach, and then we like watch and flashback it happen. Like, I would love to be in the position. I feel like shows don't really Survivor, like maybe once in a while, like it's like when an idol gets played but you didn't know they were gonna play it. That's what I really want to happen. Like, surprise me with the gossip.
Yeah, we need them to take that genius style editing and put it on Too Hot to Handle.
I mean, that's the perfect way for a Netflix show to climax an episode ending, because we're going to watch the next one anyways. So that's like the perfect way to end one and start the next one immediately. I think that's gold. Ali, I think your calling in the midst of all this is you need to brainstorm all these ideas and send them to whoever's handling Too Hot to Handle. Because season
yeah, you
two,
need to get,
we need it.
You need to get a job working for Netflix's reality division. I think that that should be what you pursue. Sorry you spent all that time becoming a lawyer, because I don't want you to do that anymore for my own personal gain.
Those are the only two good ideas I've ever had, though. So it's over.
Before we move, I'm sure we're about to move on. Can we talk about when Sharon got accused of maybe being part of the kiss and he got really angry and blew his own spot up by talking about not needing to do anything sexual to validate his relationship and then saying he doesn't think he's going to leave here with love or a relationship?
Yeah, that was the overreaction of the century. Like, it's like he did too much. Do less, Sharon, do less.
Sharon is just like so full of rage because he hasn't been able to get off that it just expresses itself in like anger explosions, and it's a little bit scary. I don't care for it.
What I liked about it though is it was like, while it was crazy to like be like, not only did I not kiss anyone, but I don't expect to ever find love and leave here in a relationship, like the overcorrection of this year. But it did kind of, I liked really how Rhonda approached it, right? Like, Rhonda didn't freak out or take it as like gospel and then go like be with David and tell Sharon to kick rocks. Like, she has a conversation, she lets him open up, she lets him explain himself, she seems to like let that go and say like, you know, you need to be able to open up though for me, like I'll meet you halfway. And when he says he's not, shout out to Rhonda for not chasing unavailable men. Like, she has a mature conversation with him. He says where he's at, and she's like, okay, well, I need to explore other options. And I was here for that. That was aspirational, because, you know, I've never done that in my life, but I aspire to do that.
Yeah, honestly, same. Like, I truly have never been interested in someone who is actually available to me. And to, you know, pass that up to go find someone who actually is open, yeah, absolutely aspirational. Ali, I feel like we have similar philosophies in life.
It's really just the blind leading the blind over here.
Yeah, just in that, like, we don't really know what we're doing. No, if you do know what you're doing, I'm sorry for insulting you, but I just feel like we maybe both don't know what
we're
doing.
We can both feel better though watching the show. Maybe that's why we both watch so much reality TV, because like, at least we're not Francesca, like, because then she goes to Harry and my mind is blown. He has still not apologized. He has still not explained. If anything, he gave a bit of explanation to in confessional in the early episodes of like, I just was like blacked out and said a bunch of stuff to get people off my back. But like, he doesn't even offer that, which is a lame excuse for throwing her under the bus. Like, this man said, oh, here's a bus coming, and tripped you. And never once apologized. And now she's like, well, like, let's really start fresh. Like, on what planet does this man get a fresh start? He hasn't even asked for one.
Yeah, you're right. At least you're not Francesca.
Yeah.
But she does make that sweet, sweet Instagram money.
Do you know that I looked at her Instagram followers yesterday and it was 700,000, and today she hit 1 million?
Oh my God.
Do you know
God.
How insane that it, like, she's at like 1.1 million and it was literally less than 24 hours ago that she was at 700,000.
That is infuriating. Yeah, she's at 1.1 million now.
Wow. Well, she's gonna be killing it more than she was already.
Oh my God. Well, honestly, I'm disgusted. I need to find someone to like pay for me to have plastic surgery so that I can be Instagram hot like that, because I don't want to work anymore.
I like that her like handle is her name, but then her name on the profile is Too Hot to Handle, all caps, because you want to make sure you find her.
It's who she is, I guess.
Yeah. Also, did you like that Sharon, after the Lana proved that they didn't kiss, was like, I really feel like OJ man in his confessional?
I did not care for that.
No. No one should.
I don't think that that's a flattering comparison for anybody. Like,
that's the one. That's what you picked?
As soon as he said that, I was like, oh my God, are we going to have to talk about OJ in the podcast? Like, there's always new surprises in store being a podcaster. And you see something, you're like, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, I think I blacked out when he said that because I was like, I'm not addressing this.
Oh, we're addressing it. We're addressing it.
Oh, you brought it up. So, yeah, he feels like OJ, which I think people can read between the lines on why that's troubling. I don't want to get sued.
Yeah, you're OJ's first target for defamation.
Hey, you never know what OJ is going to do, okay? And I'm just trying to take care of myself here. I'm looking out for number one.
Plug his TikTok at the end. He'll leave you alone.
Wait, he has a TikTok now?
Yeah, I saw a video on Twitter.
I mean, that makes sense because all his tweets were videos anyways, I guess.
The only thing that makes sense to me right now is that Puya knows that OJ has a TikTok, and Kirsten knew what OJ's previous Twitter content was. Like, I have not seen an image of this man unrelated to the trial in the 90s. Like, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
He made a Twitter last year, and it was like everyone was retweeting it, which is why I know. I would have never sought that information out for myself.
It was like one of those things where, like, you know, like a Twitter, like a, I really sound like I'm getting defensive over this. I'm not. But someone retweeted it, like one of those meme pages. So shout out to the meme pages for giving me controversial material to bring up on podcasts. And
I think we need to move on. I'm sorry.
I've been ready. I just that was a horrible.
I appreciate that Kirsten knows how to move a show along. We'll go back to Kirsten. No. I appreciate that. Yeah.
I'm just doing my best here. Okay. So much like David leading a workout in order to move the show along so that everyone's outside for Bryce to arrive.
Nice.
We're going to start talking about Bryce. So Bryce lives on a boat in LA, and that is his personality. He says, and I quote, "I am kind of fun to be around," which I think is because he says he can play the piano, sing, and dance. His dance moves are bad.
Oof, he said he's the best dancer.
No, how dare you. And then he lets it not be known that the last time he had sex was in the hotel last night.
Yeah,
so I guess he just was hooking up with someone in sequester.
This is a guy who thinks that he is better looking than he is, and mm-hmm. like for yep. reference, like, see also Harry. Like, this guy shows up like two of the least attractive men. Sorry, Kirsten, who is into Harry.
Well, Harry is 6'5", which is a big part of the attraction. Well,
like, two of the least attractive guys on the show, body and face wise, are like showing up like they're the hottest specimens on the planet. And it's just so disturbing to me. Like, he says, quote, "I can serenade myself into your hearts." And that's something he says with full sincerity. That means absolutely nothing.
So when Bryce first showed up, my thought was, he is not hot enough to be on this show.
Yep.
And then there he is, and he's like that guy who's like, yeah, but I'm funny, so that makes me hot, but like, I don't think he's funny. I think people laugh at him a lot, and he thinks they're laughing with him.
And those guys, like, there's always that one guy on Love Island UK who's like, doesn't have an amazing body, but is like more realistic, but has like a stunning face and great personality. And like, everybody loves him, and he like gets married at the end. Like, I always love that guy. Like, this guy doesn't have a good personality.
And his face and body they're just fun. Okay. So rude.
I'm being rude because he's so annoying. Like, if he was like a sweetheart, we would be like drooling. He's just a nightmare.
Yeah, he sucks. Mm. He sucks so much. I literally hate this man.
It's incredible that three episodes in, we're like, these are some really awful people. And then they managed to find someone to come in and immediately be bottom of the list. Like, how did homeboy walk in and immediately become 11th place? I don't know.
It's like the other guys came in and they were like, yeah, I have a lot of sex. I hook up a lot. It's very easy for me, whatever. But Bryce comes in and goes, yeah, I have sex every single day and it's not with the same woman. Yikes. Like, it's just, there's something about the way that he talks and acts that is so horrifying to me.
And I feel like we glossed over it, but why is this guy allowed to have had sex the night before he gets to come in and go in for the prize money?
Newsflash, Puya. I mean, he did not have sex the night before. That was a complete lie.
Hey, okay. I mean, Chloe was allowed to have her phone while she was getting her like pre-show interviews. So maybe he was able to sneak out and find some desperate tourist to hook up with him.
He's the tourist. Where are they?
Well, I assume he was staying at like a resort. So it's like all tourists.
Oh, gotcha.
That was my suspicion. But I don't really know.
Can I ask a question about the way the rules get told to Bryce?
Yes. Like,
how do we improve this? I actually thought this was great. I love that Bryce comes in and doesn't know the rules and is eye-falafeling everyone and is like, oh, like you're hot. Your eyes are amazing. Hey, he's like Richard Dawson, like giving kisses and compliments to all the women.
He's kissing everyone on the mouth when he meets
basically. Oh, and then I love that Kells like tells him the rules in the simple and effective way he does. But like, they couldn't do this, but in my dream scenario, like, there's a world where very quickly he like tries to hook up with someone and they're like, reject him. And they're like, wait, you don't know the rules? Like, I would love it like in the moment to just be embarrassment and rejection. But otherwise, I do like that he comes in like, you know, a newborn baby.
So what I think is that you only want the embarrassment and rejection because it's Bryce. I think with other people, you would be more okay with this being how it is. Like, I thought this was incredible. And just his reaction as every like step is put in, like no kissing. He's like, what? No heavy petting. What? No sex. Oh, my God. And they're like, and no masturbation. And he's like, what? Like, literally, it's like the world has ended for him. And I greatly enjoyed that.
My favorite part was then Matt immediately right after be like, yeah, man, the not jerking off thing's really been getting to us these last couple of days. Like, we can't handle it. Also, how about this for a bit of a, I'm gonna throw something on. Let me know if it works. Right. So he walks in and let's pretend it wasn't Bryce and it's someone who has some redeeming quality. Okay. Just so that we can be open to this idea. So the new person comes in and they have a 12-hour pass. But if they kiss anybody or if anyone wants to kiss them, that's still violating the rules and they'll lose like half that money. Right. So what should they get a 12-hour pass? Would that spice things up? Would that be intriguing? Like, would someone be like, ooh, I really like what this sailor boat guy has going on. I want to jump on aboard his ship. Like, then they lose like $1,500 the next day. But then no one knows who the person he kissed is. Would this be intriguing? The 12-hour pass, or is this dumb and we don't want to give them anything right off the bat?
I feel like it would only work if it was someone that Francesca was interested in, because anybody else would just tell them the rules.
Yeah.
And it would like spoil it. But Francesca would be like, oh yeah, someone wants to make out with me. Yes.
I think in this world though, and Puya, tell me if I'm misunderstanding, like they know the rules, but it would only cost like $1,500.
Yeah, so they know the rules. They know they're exempt for the first 12 hours, and others know that he is exempt, but they would still pay. And he doesn't really care as much because he's trying to get it in or whatever. And the other person's kind of in the moral dilemma slot of like, do I do it and lose some of that money or not?
I think I probably agree with Kirsten that I like it how it is. Firstly, like I think it was effective that he was like shocked and upset, and then he just goes into the rest of the world, but. I would not hate this version, but I would even be okay with it not costing any money to hook up with Bryce. Like as an like you're coming in late. Ooh. So like as an advantage, the rules are suspended. If it involves Bryce, he has a 12-hour pass. And then I think it's interesting because he's coming into people who are like unnecessarily pent up, who could only relieve themselves with Bryce. And then maybe he's more interesting when there are other existing couples in the house.
Oh, such a punishment to everybody else, though.
That is, no, that's incredible. This is just further enforcing that Allie needs to reclaim.
But this was Puya's idea, to be clear.
But you workshopped it.
Yeah, you fixed
into it. Great. Like, Puya had a good idea, and you took it to something that's already ready to go on TV.
Well, I still think primarily it's like good as it is.
Okay.
But yeah. I like just exploring to clarify, expanding this.
Yeah, Allie, I sent in an idea that didn't make the mailbag and you made the wheel. That's what just happened.
Say more nice things to me.
You got it.
Okay, we can't just compliment Allie. We'll be here all day. So then we get the setup of the Harry, Francesca, Kells little love circle situation. Love circle, love triangle. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm stupid. And so there's Francesca talking to Kells, and she's like, yeah, I make a killing on Instagram. That's why I'm not worried about the money. Like, she literally says that on the show.
I think what you said episode one is so true. Like, how is this? Are people going to get eliminated? Like, is there going to be a winner? Or is like, because more people are showing up. So like, is whoever comes just splitting this already small prize spot? Like, I can't believe anybody cares about these rules.
Yeah, it's like less than 10K a piece. If it is just 100K
before taxes. Divided.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's not even like everyone gets this amount. It's like every person gets like 90K. It's like everyone gets a share of 100 is what I've taken it as. So it's not even that much money. So I don't understand why everyone's being so like worried about it. I mean, I think Francesca, for all her, you know, stuff that she's been going through during this show, has a very, very great mentality of, I'm here to have fun. I don't know what everyone else is doing, but I'm making my money. I'm not worried about it.
And maybe that's the idea that, like, if it was a huge amount of money, then what's 3,000 here and there and everybody would be doing it. And if it's too small amount of money, then no one would care. Like, it has to be the right amount of money where some people care and some people are still willing to give it up because they don't need it. So maybe they did strike the right balance there that, like, you know, seems like a quarter of the people are willing to play ball with it and the other three quarters are like uptight for now.
Yeah, I think you've got a good idea there. That makes sense. Now we get what might be, I don't know if it's the best or the worst scene of any show I've ever seen. Bryce hosts a boat party, but on the land, which I think is just a party. And he tells us that once he plays the piano, it's all over because everyone will love him.
I thought he was gonna do Wonderwall. I really did.
I honestly, what's the only difference between what he did and Wonderwall is that Wonderwall is a good song that people like.
Haley laughing into her drink is all of us. Like, when I saw that, I was like, relatable queen.
Like, he gets behind his keyboard and he goes, I'm going to sing an original. And at that moment, my heart dropped because I was like, only a psychopath would move into a house of 10 people and then be like, hi, guys, now I am going to steal all of the attention to sing my own original song in front of you guys on like the first day that I'm there.
It's like,
and his song was so bad. Like, the song was poorly written. He is not good at the piano. He is not a good singer.
And he played it on like a children's keyboard, too. Like, they set him up to fail so hard.
Like, I would rather see him try to play a song on like a xylophone.
That would have been impressive.
I just am so traumatized. The only redeeming thing from this scene is Chloe is doing like interpretive dancing, which I took as making fun of him. And that brought me joy. I don't even. And then he like tries to like teach Chloe how to play the piano.
A G, just a G, not even play the piano. Yeah. One note.
Yeah, but like he doesn't know how to play the piano. So how's he supposed to teach her?
What was Chris? Oh, go ahead, Priya.
He's just faking his way through all of it. I mean, the man's lyrics were just also, it's a party. Why are your lyrics so depressing? Like, you know. But, you know, I thought when Kels got his confession, he's like, man, like Bryce got some bangers. I'm like, damn, we're about to hear something hot and I'm going to hate myself because I'm going to like it. And then we didn't get that. And I was like, oh, this was garbage. But then, and like, I'm glad you saw Chloe's dancing as like interpretive, like making fun of him. All I saw was Chloe is the only person that's sucked in by him. And I felt bad because I've started liking Chloe and accepting Chloe for the ditzy person that she is. I was like, no, don't go to this guy, please. And it's just getting worse.
I also like saw Chloe enjoying it, which I'm like now having fresh eyes, like hope that it was making fun of him. But what was so sad about this is like, you knew it was going to be bad. It's like a children's keyboard with like blue tinsel on it. Like, again, the show is such a troll. Like, they put this out at this dinky party to troll this asshole. And then he bites and he's like, you know, he probably was going to sing like Wonderwall or something. And they were like, no, you have to sing something original. Like, we're not paying like for the rights for you to play that. And he goes to play this like half written song. There's no joy. Like, he's talentless, but at least I thought maybe there would be some joy or fun. It's like depressing how bad he is. Like, nobody is having fun except for Chloe and Bryce. And it just like really, I mean, it brought me down. And like, seeing Sharon in the little sailor hat, I thought, like, not the captain's hat, the sailor hat, I was like, this is about to be a night. And then just plummets to the bottom.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. And what comes out of this is that Chloe and Bryce they're wheeling, you know? And Chloe is like, yeah, I've got willpower, but I don't feel like you have willpower, and says it right to his face.
She's not wrong.
I think the best way to compliment someone when they ask you who caught your eye right away is big. You know, I've always been fond of the British. Like, you know how much, what, so you, like, by default would, like, you know, are you fond of Piers Morgan? Like, that's not a great compliment to give someone. It's like, you know what? I really vibe with the British, which also for me further, like, goes like, he could have maybe tried to do a Radiohead thing too. Like, just based on what song choices he would have had there. I feel like this, Chloe should have the mentality you did when you saw Harry and you're like, oh, I'm vibing with Harry. Oh, there's red flags. I feel like she should have been like, yeah, no, this should be red flags, but I think she's been misted because she got nothing from David and now it's like all the attention, like, you know, it's like now she's playing a minesweeper again and now she's trying to find the next one, and like now she's being pulled in to the anchor that is Bryce.
The funny thing, sadly, about the you bringing up like that his type is British women, like, how's that working out for you in LA, buddy? Like, it was so obviously fake. Like, you're not in England. Like, it was so wild to say that. And the other thing that's so cringy about this show is, like, now, like, you know, he says, like, if we were in LA right now or Essex, like, I would have kissed you. That's the new, like, cringy, like, can I kiss you on reality shows? Yeah. Is like, I would love to kiss you right now, babe.
Yeah, and like, he also says in his confessional, he's like, yeah, I would have no problem getting her back to the boat. Ugh. Which is just so horrific. Like, do you think, I don't even see him as living in like a houseboat. I picture him living like underneath a motorboat because he can't afford a place to live.
I think the most apt thing Haley has said the entire show was in her confessional when Bryce came in. The man lives on his boat. I can't tell if that means he's rich or he's broke. And I'm leaning broke. I think, like, this boat can't be that magnificent. Also acting like it's the best kept secret in the world. Like, buddy, I'm on a boat, and Boats and Hoes are two of the most iconic joke songs that exist. Okay. Get educated.
And he's the boat and the hoe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go to his Instagram now to see if I could see the boat. I have not peeped his Instagram.
What's his name? Bryce.
When I've been searching like their names, usually they've been coming up in like the higher on the list, but he doesn't have the same like SEO as Francesca.
Oh, I found him. Oh, he's verified.
Oh,
he has 61,000 followers.
That's on the very low end for the rest of the cast.
Well, like, it looks, anytime he's on a boat, it does look like there is a picture of him like on front of a very fancy yacht looking thing. So it could be a nice boat, but there's no clear pictures that show him and the whole boat, which makes me think he just goes to the marina and stands on people's boats for Instagram.
I mean, if you have a yacht, you don't live on it usually, like, full time while it's docked.
Well, yeah, the yacht is like where you go for fun. It's not where you go to survive. Oh, my God. He also posts videos of him singing and playing the piano.
Oh, no.
Should I try to play this into my mic and see if it works?
Yes. Please do.
Okay.
It's the same song.
I regret saying yes.
No, that's not the same song, because this is apparently a cover of Someone You Loved by Lewis something.
Hold on, I have breaking news. So yes. I keep looking at who he tagged to see if anybody is like from the show. And then I see Boat Chronicles keeps being tagged. So I have to go to Boat Chronicles, which says too hot to handle dash boat. And it's two brothers living at sea, capturing the party. And I guess he like has an...
Wait, he lives with a roommate on his boat?
He's got an Instagram. I mean, as though it wasn't clearly his parents' boat, you know? And he's...
Oh, we found the boat.
And so he's got an Instagram account for his antics on the boat.
Oh, my God.
Bryce and Barrett, the boat brothers.
So you're welcome, world.
I'm horrified. So he posted a picture of him with the other men from Too Hot to Handle. And I'm just looking at them and... Kel and Sharon both have under 200,000. David is at like 250,000. Harry has 739,000 followers.
I wish we knew what they started with. Like, there needs to be a website that like tracks the progress.
Well, does Social Blade do Instagram?
Does what? Do what?
Yeah, I think Social Blade does do Instagram, I think.
I don't know. We can look this up. I'll look this up.
You should start tracking it until your next podcast.
Yeah, I'll look into it before the other podcast so I can kind of give people an update at the end of the season.
It does do Instagram, Carson, so you should be able to
perfect.
See that.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. I will use that to track their growth, and I will update you all at the end of the show.
Perfect.
Anyways, back to... yeah, truly, I am doing what's good and not what's evil here. So... we get like the setup of the Sharon David bromance, but it's literally just a conversation about how weird it is not to ejaculate. And I'm just like, Puya, is this what boys talk about?
I can guarantee you that as far as talking about completion, masturbation, or attempting to or not doing it, that conversation does not happen, or at least it hasn't happened to me and any of my brosifs in the world. I can guarantee that. It's just such a weird thing to talk about. And honestly, I feel like the root of it is always Sharon. Sharon was the one being like, man, have you ever been like, you know, where you don't nut and you feel like there's a weight on your chest? Like, dude, just shut up. Like, it's like... So,
wait, I also have a very serious question here.
Yes.
With Sharon being so pent up, there's no way he hasn't had like a wet dream, right?
Surely. It's got to have happened. I got to imagine. Not just him. Maybe most of the people on the
cast. Mean, I don't know. Probably all of them. Yeah. I feel like that's an underreported story that they're probably getting some form of relief.
I think I'm glad that it's underreported. I don't want to hear those confessionals.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm unhappy that I brought it up and I'm sorry.
Okay, good. As long as you're sorry, it should be okay.
We have to move on.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. Thank you. I'm so glad that Allie knows when to step in and
lift the
anchor. Move a conversation forward. It feels really good. So then we get another Lana's workshop, which is called Without Words, where they say they've learned about trust and now they're going to learn about communication. And body language is 55% of communication. So we get different pairings this time. We get Francesca and Kels, Harry and Haley, David and Rhonda, Bryce and Chloe, and then Sharon, Matthew and Nicole making up an awkward threesome. Allie, do you have any notes on these couples / throuples?
I do. That's what's so funny. Like, to me, the fact that they like let one person in and have a pairs chat like workshop just shows what a complete and utter troll the show is. Like, how on earth could the three of them participate in this challenge or in this workshop effectively? And it's just like they don't care at all. Like, these three, you're garbage. We're focusing on these other couples. look at each other in like a three-way triangle, like back and forth and back and forth. I do wish that they put Haley and Jesus together because Jesus hates Haley. And like, who cares that Harry and Haley are together? You know, like that would have been exciting to see Jesus have to bond with someone he hates. I like that they didn't put Haley, Francesca and Harry together. So overall, I was happy with this. And like they're supporting, you know, making Sharon jealous with David and Rhonda. So these were like mostly the pairings I would have made.
I wonder, like, who could they have put Nicole with for her to not be like totally screwed over in this challenge?
Not two people.
Yeah.
I get. Okay. You know what? Fair enough. So this workshop is done in two parts that are very strange. So the first part is where there's an emotion that the women need to express and that without speaking, and then the men need to guess the emotion. And then the second part is they just look into each other's eyes for a while. So how did we feel about the women expressing excitement?
So it was specifically through the hug, right? So the hug had to exude excitement. It made sense. You know, I thought it was fun. I feel like, I guess like it's easier to say. My favorite part of the entire hugging experiment, there was two parts. And it both had to do with David. First, the Rhonda and David hug taking forever was amazing. And definitely you could tell Sharon was in his feelings on that. Loved that. The second thing was finding out through the voiceover person that David has two university degrees and the guy couldn't spell excitement correctly.
Yeah, I wrote on my notes, David has two degrees with like 10 exclamation points. The only thing with more exclamation points was Harry calls Kells a peanut brain.
Harry's attacks, vicious attacks on Kells are like, he should lose all of his Instagram followers over them.
Yeah, yeah. He should give all of those followers to Kells, who deserves them more. The accountant would do good things with influencer money, okay?
And he doesn't do embezzlement.
Can I force you guys to play a game? I do love how he always says, like, I can't embezzle. It's like, I'm kidding. Yeah. I just thought of this now. I did not plan this, but I really liked the first part of the game. And apparently the soul gazing is like a real thing like that affects people. But I thought it was fun to like watch them having to express these emotions. And I imagine they probably did more than just the one. Maybe they decided it was boring. But Puya, can I Twitter DM you an emotion? And can you, using no words, but just sounds, express that emotion for Kirsten to guess?
Yes.
Kirsten, do I have your permission to do this? I know this is going to waste a lot of time on your podcast.
Let's see how it goes.
I think I have a good one. So I'm coming afraid. To Puya.
Ugh.
Frustration.
Nailed it. Okay, Kirsten, I'm going to give you one. See, that wasn't so bad. Are you guys falling in love?
I mean, Puya and I have been in love for years, okay?
Okay.
I don't do that. I don't believe in... I don't think I'm going to leave here with a relationship. I don't think I'm going to leave in love. It's not going to happen. Not me.
Okay, Kirsten, you and your text messages have an emotion.
Okay. Okay, I'm ready.
Shock.
I mean, surprise, close.
We'll give it to you. It was astonished.
Oh, okay.
See, that was fun.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we learned a lot today.
I like that, and I think we're all closer for
maybe
it.
Maybe now we know if they had more footage, why they didn't air it.
Hey, I think that two was perfect. So then they do where they just stare at each other for like the soul stare. I don't know how long they were looking at each other, but I thought it was really cute that David started crying because he was thinking about all of the positive traits that Rhonda has.
I relate to David. I felt him. I felt that in that moment. I was like, oh, David.
Well, this reminded me, Allie was saying literally yesterday how she like gets kind of teary when people like say nice things about each other.
Yeah, she did say that.
And it really, like, this made me think of Allie. And then that made me think of all the things I love about Allie.
I related to this in the sense that Rhonda's reaction to it was like, I was thinking like we should get to know each other better. Like she's like, I don't know you at all, sir, and you're weeping in front of me. No, but I thought
yeah, but she also seemed very touched that he was like, it was like I was seeing past your body, and it seems like not many people have that sort of reaction to Rhonda.
And this is what's frustrating is like, you know, David is the guy on Love Island UK. Like, I know there's been a US season. I did watch it dutifully, and Kirsten Scally did beautiful coverage. But I feel like I'm more familiar with, like, the tropes on that exist on UK because there's only been one season on the US. But it's like,
oh, I mean, you don't, like, as far as I'm concerned, Love Island US hardly even counts as Love Island. It's just a way for Scally and I to podcast.
Which I support.
About five episodes of TV.
But so like, on Love Island, right, which this is a direct comp for, it's a dupe, Like with Love Island, there's always that guy or that girl who like everyone loves and they're so obsessed with and they're best friends with everyone in the house, but like nobody's ever interested in them, or they are and it just never works and they always get friend zoned or whatever. Like David is like dead on that guy, and I'm surprised based on how he looks, like, to be frank, but you know, every girl is like, oh, he's so sweet and he has such a connection, and look, like he's emotionally available. He's crying and he's acknowledging Rhonda for who she is as a person, in addition to her outer beauty. And it's everything she wants from Sharon. And she just is going to try to like crack the nut that is Sharon. And I respect that. I don't think she should have to like people she doesn't like. But like David is just really here to give his all. And he's just getting the door closed on his face at every turn.
So you do remember when David talked about how much he loves sex parties, right?
Well, I don't think that that's like mutually exclusive from like being here to be emotionally available. Like it does seem, at least by comparison, maybe it's the edit, right? Like, but by comparison, David is getting the like, I'm here for a relationship edit, and he's getting like rejected for douchebag Bryce, or like Sharon, who's not a douchebag, but like is definitely more sex focused on the show.
When the show, when I watched the four episodes I have with Liana, and when we first got the David like package, I immediately, just a guttural reaction was, this man is a tosspot, is what I said. And
whoa,
I am happy to say
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, so the tosspot is a British term that can be, you know, you can call it someone a wanker, a tosser, a fool. It's all of that, but it just felt like the most appropriate word to just feel in that moment. I just felt very negatively towards David. And I, so, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, does the pot part come from like teapot or?
I'm not sure, but you know, you say he's a tosspot. Boom, tosspot. It feels great. I was wrong though. He is not a tosspot. He's,
I mean,
nice.
I think he might be, but he's just like the nicest he's one a on nice this toss show. Pot. They might all be tosspots.
Yeah.
He's a sweet baby angel.
Yes, a sweet baby angle, as some might say. And then, so as a result of this, Sharon just stops talking to David. just like a petty king.
Howdy, Sharon.
Petty king. I mean, I don't usually stand a petty king, but in this case, I do. I mean, but it does show the difference between, like, this whole episode was, like, the differences between David, who's, like, again, just in the edit, like the emotionally mature one. I care about our friendship. Let's talk. Like, what's going on? I'm communicating to with you. And Sharon is just like giving him the silent treatment like Michael Scott. And then is like, well, clearly you're into her and you lied to me. Like, he's just like, like, you know, like he's more like me. I'm not a David either. I'm more of a Sharon.
Puya, I just looked up tosspot and apparently it means a habitual drinker.
No, but that's the regular, go to Urban Dictionary. That's where the real definition is.
Yeah, but it still comes, it's like they're making fun of someone because they are, like, it says a drunkard on tosspot on Urban Dictionary.
Well, like, my origins with it is I listened to grime, so I heard it in grime, and that's where it stuck with me. It's like a very negative thing to say, so.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I just wanted to have that out there in case somebody's going to Google
grime?
It.
Is that, what's his face's wife?
No, not Grimes. It's a British rap, heavy British rap.
Okay.
Got it,
no
got it, got it.
Okay, to Elon Musk.
No. How did Elon Musk and OJ come up in one podcast today?
Anyways, so back to Sharon, David, and Rhonda thing. They basically, there's like the silent treatment, and then we find out from Lana that it's the halfway point of the show, which is where I was like, wait a second, what? Because like I knew that I was on the fourth episode out of eight, but it felt like it had been a day. Like it didn't feel right. And so this is when everybody gets their little Fitbit. And so when there's nothing on the screen, the rules apply. And if a color changes, you can physically do whatever you want. And I know, Allie, you had mentioned that you thought this kind of fixed the show.
I love this. And I like that it's like for good behavior, like for genuine connections. And I, you know what I also like? When I was watching the first two episodes, like, I don't like to feel tension. Like, when I watch Love Island, I like fast forward through like the 15 minutes of them like eliminating couple by couple, like for who's safe. Like, I don't love to feel that way, so drawn out. And I feel like this entire show is just like, as they experience sexual tension, you also experience tension. And I was like, I can't do this for 8 episodes. And then, like, you still get that tension because I wanted them to put the bracelet screen for Francesca and Kells, which we'll talk about. But it does seem like they're going to be very selective about when they offer that opportunity. So I think it's like a nice tweak to the rules.
Yeah, I like it too. I was surprised because like everyone's lit up green when it first went on, and I was expecting them all to just like start making out, and then they didn't, which I thought was very weird. But I guess they were too busy following the rules. Puya, how do you feel about the temporary rule lift if they make a genuine connection?
Well, like, I remember listening to the podcast with you and Rob, how you both kind of like said you didn't want the show to be like, it's like, don't be the morality police. And I think the bracelet kind of makes it official that, yes, Lana is the morality police, and she gets to decide who is, you know, who has done enough to grant them the green light. There's no messing about. It's literally, do I feel like you've made a genuine relationship? Yeah, here's a cookie for you. Go kiss. Like, that's how they're getting rewarded. So it's not even a thing of like, you know, they can act nice, they can try and learn about each other, but it only comes down to when Lana says so. I'm not a fan of that, but I do agree that the release is needed, and kind of making them work towards something is beneficial, because honestly, this money thing, and like not knowing where the money is going to be by the end and how many other people are coming in, I think this adds a nice wrinkle into. So like, for example, if you are someone like a Chloe and you did lose the connection with David and now you were looking at Bryce, say, okay, let me see if I have something going on with Bryce. Let me work on this relationship. Maybe we'll get somewhere. Cause like, maybe if David and Chloe had the green light on the Fitbit early on, they would have struck a connection that they realized was stronger. Who knows? So I think in that sense, it's incentivizing people to pursue the relationships beyond like 4 days kind of thing. So I like that.
That is a very good point. I just think it's something that's not going to happen for a lot of these people. Like, I feel like there's just not enough time for Francesca to change who she is as a person and it to become clear that she's not just looking for a hookup. Or like Bryce, like, when is Bryce forming a connection with anybody? That's what I would like to know. But you know what? I do think it is a nice wrinkle. We already talked about David and Rhonda. So Francesca and Kells get a date, and that date is champagne in the hot tub, which I guess is about the same level as champagne and chocolate covered strawberries. So I shouldn't be surprised, but I was very surprised by this date. And they're the rule breaker and the accountant. And I know, Puya, you love the accountant. So do you think that Rule Breaker is a good nickname for Francesca?
I like that nickname for Francesca. I think it's only apt considering she's lost them technically the most money in $6,000 by being involved in the two kisses in the show so far. This was interesting to me because this is like opposites attract in the sense that they're both very attractive people. They get along well. But, you know, Rule Breaker and the accountant. And I genuinely thought throughout this date that the accountant was going to give in to the unbalanced balance sheet and just go for it. You know, too much debit, not enough credit kind of situation. Never happened. So proud of the accountant for that, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll get to talk about it later on with the fallout between Kells and Francesca, but I enjoyed seeing this date and I liked that it bothered Harry. And I do think that Harry calling Kells ugly in his confessional was not great from a bowl cut, haircut, having ass dummy. But whatever, Harry, you'll get yours in some point at some stage, I hope.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. So at the same time as this date, David and Rhonda are having their conversation. And Rhonda comes to the conclusion that she feels like David is listening to her and really likes her and cares about her. Feels like she could have a relationship with David, doesn't know what could happen with Sharon. And then she's like, I don't know if I came into this for something easy. I feel like that's like very much into the whole like fairy tale type way that love is presented these days. Did you find this relatable at all, Allie?
I literally like was watching this and I was just like, Rhonda, girl, love does not have to be hard. Like, it's not actually supposed to be hard. Like, and I know that because I say it to myself all the time. Like, it is very much like you're saying, Kirsten, like the fairy tale, like I'm going to fight for this. And like, that's actually like not how you're supposed to feel 10 days into being in a relationship or having some sort of relationship with someone. So it was like a little bit frustrating, but I like where Rhonda and Sharon ended up. So maybe in this case, it was sort of the exception that like she... It's worth fighting for Sharon to help him break down the walls. But it was very much like, here's an available like man who likes me for me, who's attractive. And here's an attractive man who's completely closed down. But I'm not going to give up. I didn't come here for the easy way out.
Yeah, this was like she had done so well earlier. And then at this point, I was like, oh, this is a step backwards. This is something that I can relate to. I really like Rhonda. I feel like she's the breakout character, to be honest. Then it cuts through. It's weird the way they do the storytelling here, because then it goes straight to Francesca and Kels are showering, and they're showering at the same time, but not together. And Francesca says, hey, can we shower together? And Kels says no. And then suddenly they're showering together anyways.
Yeah. So... And in that scene, Francesco was, you know, touching up on Kel's giving him a bit of a shower massage kind of thing from what I saw. Does that not count as like, you know, touching? Is heavy petting? Because I didn't want to search this on my browser. But is
better to ask on a podcast than search on your browser.
Yes, because I want to, you know, incriminate one of you and not me. So heavy petting.
I don't care. I'll Google heavy petting.
Is that
petting.
Are we talking like hand stuff, like hand jobs and stuff? Or is it literal like squeezes and stuff? Because I feel like those were squeezes. So
according to the Oxford English Dictionary.
Webster says, go on.
Heavy petting is erotic contact between two people involving stimulation of the genitals.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
But stopping short of intercourse. So I think as long as you don't touch their genitalia, private parts.
Okay.
It is not heavy petting, which is, you know, good to know.
Yeah.
So in that moment, Francesca really thinks she has him and that they are going to hook up in the shower. And he rejects her and she is furious. Mm-hmm. Francesca is a falafel girl. Like she, because even from this moment, like she gets rejected and she's embarrassed. And then her first instinct is, hey, you know what? I'm more attracted to Harry anyways. Like she's literally that person who's like, whatever. I didn't even want to date you. You suck. You're a bitch. You're ugly. I hate you. When like 5 minutes ago, she was like, let's.
Which is wild. This is like getting into the deep like psychosis of Francesca, right? Which is like a place I don't really want to be in. But she she got, you know, completely mugged off by Harry in front of the entire house and was like so clearly rejected in the form of lying about her and tossing her under the bus and denying that he was interested in her in front of the entire house immediately after propositioning her for sex. And yet Kels, who says, oh, you're making this really hard. But like, you know, if it's, I love when he said in the hot tub, like, if it's like meant to be, we'll kiss later. Like he says something like that. Like, you know, the watch will tell us and we'll be able to kiss then if we can like last it out. Like that is apparently such deep rejection that she gets thrust back into the arms of the person who actually deeply rejected her. And the other frustrating thing, and I noticed this in the first episode, like Rhonda almost is like, and she doesn't do this anymore, but there's a part in the first or second episode, I forget when, where I was getting the impression that she was sort of like into the idea that a guy might find her so attractive that he was willing to give up money for her. Not in a way like paying her for, but like, oh, I'm worth more than $100,000. I'm worth more than $3,000. And this is sort of like, I think how Francesca is now seeing it. Like it's a game to her and it's such deep rejection if a guy is choosing money over the opportunity to kiss her or touch her while she's naked. And that is not the point of the show. Like that is like the warped thing that we're getting into with Francesca, where like Harry is irresponsible with money and willing to throw it away to hook up with her, but in public completely disses her. Kels respects her, but is not willing to break the rules to kiss her. And that's rejection.
That's
yeah. I don't think Francesca is going to be getting any green watches anytime
when
soon.
When her and Harry get a green watch, I'm going to be so pissed because, like, you know, that's happening because they're going to want everyone to have like they're going to be in a relationship.
No,
Harry's going to be broken
down. They're just going to break the rules. They're just going to start having sex and then lose all.
I hope
money.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean, or it's a merge of the two and they get the green light and they get the private suite and then they ruin all the money there. I could see that also happening.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility as well.
Yeah.
So that at least at this point, all that's left is the beautiful David and Sharon relationship where they have like a amazing conversation on the beach about how Sharon is going to try harder to open up because he realizes he really likes her, and they get a green light so that they can make out on the beach, which is just so scenic and beautiful. And Sharon calls them the Obamas 2.0, which I think is the most flattering comparison he makes since the other one was OJ. So I guess it's not, I think, I know. This is more flattering. And so, yeah, as a result of them getting a green light, they get the opportunity for a private suite, but they don't have the green light on that suite. What do you guys think about that wrinkle? Allie, you go.
Yeah,
first.
I mean, this is like the boom boom room, the hideaway, the like privacy. Like, what's weird to me is it's almost like because the show, and this is the genius of the show, right? Like, because the show, I think Puya said it's a forbidden fruit. Like, because the show has taken sex off the table, like, it's more of a topic. Like, I think there's a world where Sharon and Rhonda go into this suite and or someone goes into the suite and doesn't have sex, even if sex was allowed. Like, but because it's not allowed, it's like a much bigger deal. That makes sense. Like, most of the people who go into the hideaway in the UK, like, don't have sex who go, like, especially in early days. And I know this is like a US reality show and that's definitely different, but now I'm rambling. I don't know. I like it. I don't think it really matters, honestly. Like, I don't need them to be like extra tempted in private, but if they're going to develop their relationship, you know, they're going to come out tomorrow, the next day, and be like, oh, we've like made such a deep connection. And like, I'm going to be like, okay, cool. I don't buy it. Did that make any sense? I don't even know where I am right now.
Yeah. No, that made perfect sense. And you're exactly where you're supposed to be. So don't be upset. What I liked is the minute they left to go to, I'm going to call it the hideaway because that's what's comfortable to me as a Love Island stan. David immediately is like, so, hey, everyone, how do we feel about that? And Bryce is just like, bro, how do you feel about that?
It would also be a good opportunity for people to hook up and frame the people in the hideaway. But now that you can ask Lana, oh, it's like that's taken away.
Oh, I hate that they can ask Lana. That's so annoying. Okay. Do either of you have any kind of like last thoughts on this before we ask a couple of questions and then get out of here? Because this has ran way longer than I thought it was going to.
So for me, just to quickly, I guess, talk about the boom boom room or the too hot to handle mantle or whatever we're going to call the smash room, something. I think that not giving them a pass for the night is brilliant because whoever goes in this room after being, you know, being told that, hey, you've made a connection here. You have found each other and you are working it the right way. There's almost a 0% chance that whoever goes in this room isn't doing something. So I think for sure something's going to happen. I imagine this next episode, we're going to see them in this room and at least do a little bit of making out or something, because we've seen the suites and like the little cutscenes and they look immaculate. And obviously, you know, I've watched Love is Blind, and in Love is Blind, the resort they went to after they got paired up was amazing and it almost made you want to do something there. So I think something's going to happen here, and I think not making them have to decide, are we going to get penalized for this, yes or no, is a good wrinkle to that. And that's enough out of my mouth for
now.
Wait,
I think I've changed my mind. I think you're right. And I think it's really good, especially because like, if they ultimately want people to be having sex, the odds that they have sex in the public room is like zero. So you're right. So like they need this in order to like encourage people to lose money.
Yeah. And I'm excited to find out what the prices are for other stuff. Kissing's $3,000. What is sex? You know, what is heavy petting? Tell me more.
Yeah, I want to know the full breakdown. And I think that that's something that it would be really nice if they had given us the full breakdown. But they didn't. And that bothers me forever. I also think that that brings up the interesting point of like, will someone be like Francesca and be mad if their partner is not willing to lose money for them? Like, it adds another layer. So I do enjoy that. Okay, so I'm going to just do a couple of questions that we got from the Rob Has Awesome Patrons Facebook group. Because there were some really great ones there. And honestly, there were so many good questions that we just don't have time for all of them. First, I'm going to ask from the great Haley Strong. She wants to know if we prefer her or TV Haley.
No contest.
Her. Yeah.
It's not a question. It's clearly Haley Strong. But I just thought this was a good opportunity for us to say how much we love her. Okay. Sarah Pearson asked if underboob will be this summer's hottest swimsuit trend.
I feel like underboob's been popping for a while.
Yeah, I feel like underboob's been a thing for a minute. It's like there's tasteful side boob and then there's like overtly sexual underboob, and they're all great because they're boobs.
We've been new.
Okay. And then Alex Trias asked, did Rhonda pick the right guy to move forward with when choosing between David and Sharon? I think we've kind of addressed this, but Allie, you seem to think that David was the right choice, right?
I think it ended up being the case that Sharon is, like, I think she handled it exactly right in the sense that she didn't just, like, chase and pursue Sharon. She left him, got space, pursued other options, and then he came back to her like, no, I'm ready to change, I'm interested, whatever. Like, it ended up, I think, like, she has to follow her heart and go with the guy she's more into. She's clearly more into Sharon. Just like the process, I've seen that go wrong 100 more times than it's gone right. And I think it's going to go wrong for Francesca and Harry, but Sharon seems to be a good guy.
Yeah, I co-sign that.
That makes sense. Okay, and then from Twitter, we had @SpinaNitz asked, does living on a boat qualify as a suitable replacement for a personality? Puyo, what do you think?
No! Especially when your redeeming qualities beyond that are playing the keyboard horrendously, and then just genuinely believing that the boat, because here's the thing, if you think your main selling point and the thing you're going to brag about is my boat gets me women, is without this boat I don't get anybody and I have nothing. If his boat was stolen, what does this kid have to fall back on? His great charisma or his very well-timed wit? No.
Yeah, and his really good looks, you know. We actually got a ton of questions about Bryce and the boat specifically. I think everyone's kind of on the same page with us. Nicole at Behind the Secret asked how many girls we think have actually gone to Bryce's boat.
Sadly, a lot.
Allie, what do you think?
Sadly, yeah, probably a ton.
Yeah.
That's traumatizing.
Yeah. No, but without this boat, his ego capsizes. Ooh. So, there we go.
Ayo. Okay, and so then the last question that we'll address today, Tom Palmer asked, who is the Mount Rushmore of too hot to handle contestants through four episodes? Ooh. I thought this would be a really fun exercise for us.
Agreed. Can I ask some clarifying questions? Is it the Mount Rushmore of like the four people you like the most, or like the four people most necessary to the show, or the four, like who is it, a combo? Like, what are the criteria?
I think it's like for you when you're thinking about too hot to handle, who are the people that come to mind first for you? Okay. Like, who would be representative of the show would be my way of thinking.
Okay.
About
so it's
it.
Like the Rob, like if you're Netflix and you're putting up a statue of the four people of too hot to handle, it's not the people I like the most.
Yes. And either way, Nicole isn't on it.
No, definitely not.
She's not even on the show really. So I feel like it's almost, like, I feel like Francesca's definitely there.
Mm-hmm. I would say so.
I feel like Sharon and Rhonda are both there.
I would nominate Kels to round it out if we're doing those three.
I totally don't agree with you guys.
Ooh.
Okay, what do you think?
I think it's Francesca locked in.
Yeah.
I almost think Jesus is on it.
I think so, too. I think Jesus is on it.
Like, I don't think Kels is on it as in terms of the first four episodes.
Yeah, I don't think Kels is on it.
I think Kels is on the ones we like the most.
Yeah, no.
We like it. Like, if I was doing a personal Mount Rushmore of people I like the most, it'd be like Kels and Haley and Chloe and David. But, like, that's not the exercise, right? So, yeah, I think Francesca's there. I guess I can be okay with Jesus being there, even though I hate him. Oh, I guess I shouldn't say I hate Jesus.
Matt Jesus.
I think
it's Matt Jesus, obviously. Rock and roll Jesus.
When you said Detective Jesus PD, I'm like still dying over that. I think Sharon or Rhonda are there. One of them. And then I think Lana has to be the fourth.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Okay, yeah, Lana's there. Matt Jesus, Francesca. And then between, I feel like Rhonda has steered more of the drama.
Sharon is like the point of the show, right? It's like the guy who like hides behind sex and blocks connections. And then, but I think Ty goes to the more likable person. So I'm cool with Rhonda going up there.
I don't know if I agree with the oil diffuser Alexa Lana being on the Mount Rushmore. Like,
but I mean, without her, there is no show. They would just be having an orgy. No,
I mean, without her, there'd be some like host of some sort, some person standing there being the representation of Lana, right? So I don't know, because it's just voice, like it's a device.
Who's
so,
the fourth?
I don't know. I think I'm just trying to smuggle my buddy Kels into it, but I don't think it's going to be possible. So
I don't think Kels is on the Mount Rushmore. I'm so sorry, Pooja.
He is the accountant. He's the one that is keeping everyone humble. And
yeah, but we already have Matt Jesus for that role.
No, Matt Jesus is like the detective on the mean streets, but Kels is Colonel No Nut. And Matt Jesus is Soldier No Nut.
Okay, well, first of all, soldier is not a rank in the military.
Pooja. No, this isn't a military analogy. This is an amalgamation of a bunch of random shit.
Okay, well, anyways, I think we need to. Anyways, so this is over now. I'd like to thank both of you so much for joining me today to talk about these two episodes, because I had a lot of fun. So for people who have been living under a rock and don't already know where to find you, Allie, where could people find you?
This has been the joy of my lifetime. You can find me co-hosting The Challenge or Hap Up, talking about MTV's The Challenge, which, like, if you like this show, I feel like you're right on brand to watch The Challenge. And you can also follow me at Last Tweets.
And Pooja, what about you? Where can people find you?
You can find me on all major platforms at Pooja-ism. I will be continuing to cover the long season of The Masked Singer, ongoing with Liana Boris. If you like this show, I don't know if you're going to care for Masked Singer. It is a very bit of acquired taste, but I can guarantee you'll enjoy the podcast. That's for sure. We drop anchor in random places. We talk about random stuff. And when we go overboard, we just capsize. So, you know. Come in for a jolly stay and, you know, don't stay too long. I don't know what I just said.
Okay. That was perfect. Nailed okay. It. So if people are interested in finding more of me, they can follow me on every social media platform at Kirsten Said What. And they can also hear me recapping Riverdale with Mary Kwiatkowski over on Kowski Cast. That is cow with a K. There will be a Too Hot to Handle recap podcast of episodes 5 and 6 coming out a little bit later this week, where I will be joined by Haley Strong and both of the Blooms, Mike and Angela. So I'm very excited for that. So I will post asking for questions closer to that time. And then on Friday, there will be a roundtable hosted by Rob to wrap up the series. So it's fast and it's furious and it is Too Hot to Handle. So please check that out, as well as all the other shows on the reality TV wrap ups. Feed. So until next time, you know, take a gamble on love or whatever Pooja said.
Take a chance, gamble on romance, and do not trust your local falafel boy.
Okay, couldn't say it better myself. Bye, everyone.